Barbara, I'm really excited about a study of the breath of God or the study of Holy Spirit in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And Darren, we don't see him as often in the Old Testament as we do in the New Testament in the way that Jesus described him, but he is there all the same. And he was there from the very beginning. It says in Genesis 1:2, "And the earth was formless or void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." We find that in the Old Testament, spirit means breath, the breath of God. And it's number 7307 in the Hebrew. It occurs 226 times in the Old Testament. And so we know that Holy Spirit is involved in almost everything that goes on that between God and all of the prophets and the teachers and the people of the Old Testament. Would you like to pray before we start today?
Certainly. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being such an integral part of our lives, for being the one that anointed Jesus in New Testament times and anoints us yet today. But we see you showing your appearance all the way through the Old Testament, anointing men of God to do supernatural things, to operate in signs and wonders. And Father God, today we thank you for Jesus, and Jesus, we thank you for sending Holy Spirit. Now open up the eyes of our heart that we might understand the precious anointing, the precious message, and the reality of Holy Spirit all the way through Scripture. We pray this prayer, we give this teaching in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Oh, it's almost overwhelming, isn't it, to try to teach about something that is so important, someone who is so important as Holy Spirit. But we're going to dive in here and give you a few verses and scriptures and hopefully explain Holy Spirit a little bit clearer to you so that he can become your very best friend. That's what we desire. Oh, hallelujah.
Well, go ahead. I think you're doing super.
There are so many instances where Holy Spirit appears, but I like to go to 1 Samuel 10. That's one of the first times after Israel had demanded a king that God says, okay, I'll give you a king. And he searches out a man, a very humble man at the time, and then we see him change to a very demonic type. But here we find in 1 Samuel 10, a man from the tribe of Benjamin and from the family of Kish. His father's name was Kish. His name is Saul. And do you have it there, Darren?
Yes, I'm talking here about 1 Samuel chapter 9 and chapter 10.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, I think it's exciting here that the father sent the son out to look for donkeys.
Yes.
And you know, and that's when the anointing came on Saul as he was out on this search. And many times we think, well, I have to be on a high holy mountain, or this has to be a great time in my life. I've got to be involved in church, or it's got to be something that's so supernatural, place and time and all the events. But God's anointing can come on us whenever, wherever. Mm-hmm. He chooses to anoint a person and call a person and consecrate a person and set them apart.
Mm-hmm. Now,
interesting that Saul was looking for the seer's house, mm-hmm. and he was asking here for something out of the Spirit.
That's right.
And in the New Testament, it talks about to desire to covet earnestly the spiritual gifts. Well, here we are in the Old Testament, and I think it's so interesting that Saul was saying, I'm looking for these donkeys, and yet the man of God was saying, I am looking for a man to anoint
yes,
here to be king over Israel.
That's right. And we see here an example of Holy Spirit. They actually took oil, and oil in the Old Testament is very representative of Holy Spirit upon our lives in the Old Testament. He did this teaching that him living inside of us had not been presented to man until after Jesus came, Darren. But here in the Old Testament, like for instance in the very first part of Samuel, 1 Samuel 10, Samuel takes a flask of oil, anoints Saul. This is an indication of the anointing of Holy Spirit on Saul's life.
Well, and it's when he was really commissioned, or he was set aside, or he was set apart. But I think it's exciting if we go back to the 9th chapter.
Okay.
And here it says, now, in the 15th verse, now, day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, about this time tomorrow I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel, and he shall deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines. I think that is so exciting that God was speaking here out of the supernatural ahead of time. And you know, even in the New Testament, Jesus said, I will send you Holy Spirit, and he will tell you of things to come.
Yes.
Well, amen. Here he was telling God's man the day before that Saul would be coming, and he was going to point him out, and that was the man that he was to anoint.
Hallelujah.
And that ceremony, that anointing, where the oil was poured here on Saul, was the time when this power of the Holy Spirit came on him. And I like what it says in chapter 10. He became a different man, as a different man in one day.
That's right.
He changed. He changed from being an ordinary man to being an anointed man of God.
And he was of the least tribes of Israel. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. And we see here, God, I love God's ways, Darren, because so many times we're looking for a profound, great, exciting thing and a huge man and a charismatic man, and God picks the least tribe. He picks the most insignificant man in the tribe, and he says, you're going to be king of Israel. I think that is so wonderful to see how God works things out in the little people, and he brings them up by the might and the power of Holy Spirit.
You know, when we get a word from the Lord, we really need to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to not take that as common and not something we can just blow off and keep going.
That's right.
Because he says here in verse 6 of chapter 10 of 1 Samuel, speaking to Saul, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man.
Oh, hallelujah.
Now, he's telling him ahead of time, here's what's going to happen. Here's what you're going to do. And then I like in verse 9, it says, then it happened when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God's man. God changed his heart, and all those signs came about that day. I like that.
Well, I love it. And it happened. What had been prophesied just right before, three verses before, happened. It happened. And to those of you who are listening today to this tape, and if you've longed for that thing in your spirit that you felt it was going to come, it will happen. God has prophesied to you. It will happen according to his word. I love that. It happened. When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart.
Now, I think it's also exciting that God calls not only that leader, but the followers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we go down to verse 26, it says, and Saul also went to his house at Gibeah, and the valiant men whose hearts God had touched went with him. And you know, we've seen that where God would raise up people to help us. In fact, we've seen that it might have been something very small in a meeting, but God raised them up. They were there when we were beyond our limitations.
Yes.
I mean, we couldn't do anymore. We could only do one job at a time. And God would raise somebody up to be right there. And I've seen him do that with sinners. You know, I have a man that does a lot of printing for me. He is a sinner. You know, I've ministered to him. But God raised him up and he helps us.
He sure does.
And he does great things for us in the ministry. The printing he does for us is just awesome. And he gives me a better price and better service than any place I've been. Well, God has anointed him in a sense to help us spread the gospel message.
That's right.
That's exciting to me, Barbara.
Amen. And where the valiant men were surrounding Saul here at this time, look at that verse 27 before we go to Isaiah here. It says, certain worthless men said, how can this one deliver us? Wherever there is a mighty move of God, there is going to be the cynic, there is going to be the one who's unbelieving, and you just have to ignore that, because here it was the same way. Saul was anointed of God. He was very insignificant. And here were these men on the sidelines saying, well, how can this man deliver us? It's the same way today, Darren. It really is.
And you know that anointing is a protection.
Oh, that's right. That's a good point.
In fact, this last weekend, we were seated at a table in a restaurant, and a gentleman came in, and he walked right over to our table. Now, we didn't beckon him to come. In fact, I wish he wouldn't have seen us. But it's a man I've had some contact with over the past, I'll say many years.
Mm-hmm. 10, 12 years.
And he's gotten cynical and he's gotten bitter because God hasn't healed him. So he walked up to our table, and we were with some other people. And he's very intrusive. He walked right up and says, God doesn't heal.
Yeah,
he
God
didn't
doesn't heal
me.
Today. That's right.
But you know, the anointing of God was such a protection for me. I mean, I don't think my heart skipped a beat. I know it didn't speed up at all. I thought, there's no contest here. This cynical man is listening to a spirit of blasphemy and mockery, and that always comes against the anointing, Barbara.
Yes.
It may come through a Jezebel spirit, or just through a cynical spirit, or a spirit of mockery, or blasphemy coming against the anointing of God. But I'll tell you, when you're clothed with the anointing, you're protected.
That's right.
And I looked at this man, had great pity for him.